Hello, my name is Sarah Floyd.
Healthy Minds Alliance is an innovative AmeriCorps program managed by Health 360 that engages AmeriCorps members of all ages and backgrounds to meet critical mental health needs in communities served by their host sites. AmeriCorps members serving with the Healthy Minds Alliance receive a stipend during their 10-month service term, and upon completion of their service term, receive an education award which can be used to repay qualified student loans and to pay current educational expenses at eligible institutions of higher education and training programs. If you're interested in becoming an AmeriCorps member or would like information on how your organization could become a host site, please see our show notes for information on how to apply.
Welcome, current, former, future AmeriCorps service members. My name is Michael, and I will be your host for today's Healthy Minds Alliance podcast. And I'm also an AmeriCorps service member. Joining me today is Sarah Floyd. Sarah is an AmeriCorps service member who also happens to work in the same building that I do as part of our service tied to the Corbin School of Innovation. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So I like to start with all my guests with just a little bit, you know, I know a little bit about you because we work together, but for the people listening, strangers on the internet, so feel to whatever level you feel comfortable, but just tell me a little bit about Sarah. Who are you?
Well, I like to think of myself as a very creative person overall. I enjoy doing pretty much any type of art, anything that I can get my hands in. I also like writing. I was a dance teacher for a little bit last year. Anything where I can express myself creatively, that's where I tend to thrive. So that's really, if you were going to pinpoint one thing about Sarah Floyd, it's probably that she's very creative.
Excellent. So this is the first time we've had a chance, or I've had a chance to interview someone that I've actually worked with. It's always been strangers across the internet. But you and I have worked together now for about 9 months. You're actually getting really close to ending your first AmeriCorps service term. I've actually just signed up for my second. And we both have this sort of weird relationship with the service because we both work at the school that we also serve at the school. So we're part-time employees and then full-time service members. But you specifically do something called Save the Children. I want to talk a little bit about that. It's not tied to your AmeriCorps service, but it's what you do for your actual job.
What my specific role is I'm an early childhood coordinator. So what that means, I'm a home visitor. So I go into people's houses with pregnant people up to children 3 years old, and we do developmental activities. We do assessments, make sure that their child is reaching their developmental goals and everything. And it's really fun. So I get to sit there and be just playing the floor with a little baby sometimes as part of my job. So that's very enjoyable. And then I also bring book bag exchanges to the school. So Save the Children is all about promoting literacy and building home libraries. So we do that book bag exchange where we swap out books with like the preschools. They take home some, bring them back, give them new stuff. Also do things with the library, story time, singing and dancing, jumping around, all that good stuff.
It sounds like a lot of fun, but I also imagine, like, I have a hard time believing that I would be able to do that just to go into people's homes. I know it's very needed, but I think it speaks a lot about you as a person that you're able to do that and you enjoy doing it.
Yeah, I've actually, I wasn't sure how much I would enjoy that, honestly, when I initially started. And I'll be honest, you know, there's been some challenging situations. And my job is to make sure that they're comfortable and that everyone's safe and that we're all in a good learning environment. Mm-hmm. So it's been really fun, though, the variety in, like, the people that I meet. And, you know, I get to work with, like, little tiny newborn babies up to, like, and I get to be there with those parents as they watch. Like, you know, I've been working really hard on trying to get her to say mama, and then, like, she finally does. And, like, things like that is I get to be a part of that, like, developmental journey with those parents, and that's been really fun.
That is very, very cool. So within our AmeriCorps service, we both, again, we work at the school. You work for Save the Children. I work technically for the schools, like support help. And then we also serve at the school for AmeriCorps. And one of the things that you do through that service is that you teach art classes for the kids. For anyone not aware, the Corbin School of Innovation is a Montessori school. So we have students that range from kindergarten all the way to high school and in different classes and broke out into different age groups. So just tell me a little bit about what you do and how you have approached teaching art to the different groups of kids.
Yeah, so I think the arts are very important and sometimes can be overlooked in a lot of places. Luckily, I think we are in a school that very much appreciates the arts overall. So that's been very good to be a part of. So when I go into these art classes, this past year or so, I mostly worked with like kindergarten up through like elementary school. So okay. Mostly the younger kids with the art classes, but every now and then I jump in with the older students as well. But for me, it's just about, one, kind of giving them a break from just the general academic everyday things, giving them a chance to be creative and express themselves. I was actually able to do a little survey, kind of a check-in with them partway through the year and see kind of what they were getting from art classes, if there was anything more I could provide for them. But for a lot of them, it was just really good to have that chance to take a break and just express themselves. A lot of times, you know, for me as a creative person, I express my emotions and everything a lot of times a lot better through my artwork. And, you know, some kids are naturally drawn to do that. So it's been good to be able to provide that for them.
Very, very cool. And I do appreciate you sharing that with us. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about, just again, because of the relationship that we have, we teach the youth mental health first aid curricula together. So we both got through that training through AmeriCorps. We've now trained, I don't know how many people, not as many as I would like, because I would like to do more, but it's been really interesting, I think insightful, because both of us have some lived experience that we share pieces and parts during our trainings. And again, I don't want to get into anything too personal today, but I just want to tell you that I find it very brave of you, how much I have seen you share. And I think it adds a lot to our students, because it isn't just theoretical. Like, not only is it, you know, evidence-based, the course is, but we are both sharing things about ourselves. Like, this is stuff that we have gone through in some cases, pieces and parts. And I just want to let you know, I found that very brave.
Thank you. I think the same of you as well. Whenever we share those things, I do think it brings something different, because if you hear a personal story, you know, that kind of makes it real and it makes it more memorable, because I feel like people will remember almost a dramatic story better than just like information that they hear. Sometimes these sessions can be long, but we have good conversations. And mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes bringing up those personal stories, even though, you know, they can be very personal at times, it's very helpful to make that connection. You see that person's face, they're telling you their story of what they have been through and maybe some things that helped them or some things that didn't help them, and how they going through this training could have potentially been and could in the future be somebody that can support someone in that kind of situation.
Right. Yeah. And I also think, you know, every class is different, and we're probably speaking to a lot of people who have been part of the classes as well. But I often find that if we start with a story, which we usually do, I think it's more likely they're going to share. And I don't want all of their personal life, but like, we're kind of like priming the pump as a way. I don't know why this is a terrible analogy, but I used to work in the service industry. And like, when you see a tip jar, you always put, like, when you start your shift, you throw a couple dollars in the tip jar so that more people are more likely to tip, right? So it's kind of the same thing. Like, if we start off by sharing our own stories, I think it lets people feel comfortable sharing their own, because they're not doing it into a vacuum. They've already been, that cork has been uncorked. I'm terrible at analogies today.
No, I get that. Like, it definitely makes sense. And I feel like, you know, no one wants to be the first person to jump out or step out and say something, even if they're like thinking to themselves, I got a really relevant story that other people might find helpful. But I do feel like, yeah, kind of getting everything primed up and just like letting them already know, like, it's a safe space. If you want to share, you know, we're already being vulnerable ourselves. If you are comfortable with doing that, you know, then that's something that could bring value, you know, another story, another perspective. I remember someone sharing something about like, just like sports and how that physical, like if they get a physical injury, how that could also affect mental health. And me as not being a very sporty person, that was like a different perspective. Even though that's like a small example, there are so many examples from teaching all these classes that helps me kind of self-reflect and even be more aware of other situations, other life experiences that are very different from my own. And so that's one thing I've really enjoyed about teaching these classes. And I think part of that being so open initially really lets that conversation flow.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree. And I remember that specific person because I've also, again, we started training these together. So our technique has evolved and like I now know where you normally share and you know where I normally share and we can kind of make it very conversational. But I've also taken from every class we've done, there's usually something that happens that I can roll into an element or think about or, you know, like, okay, this went that way then. How can I try to, you know, do this, that, the other? These are all very vague tendencies. Sarah's shaking her head. She knows what I mean. But one thing I want to talk to you about, again, as someone who does home visits, again, I imagine that you're like, you know, assess. If you're going, just for a second, we're going to move into the youth mental health first aid training. Assess is the first thing. It's the thing you should always be doing. So I imagine that when you're in home visits, you're also assessing with the mindset of a first aider.
Absolutely. So that's one thing that I've very much appreciated about this training is, you know, now I have I've got the algae action plan I can go to. And just like, it's there just as something, you know, that's part of like, we know it well now. You know, sometimes you'll go into a home visit and there's like a single mom who's been struggling. Maybe she's a young mom. She's trying to finish high school while also having to care for a baby. And all of those are challenging things in themselves. So being able to, part of my job, I like to say that I support parents as they support their child's learning and development. Mm-hmm. So I'm there to support the family overall, to support those parents. And part of that is doing a check-in with them. And I've had to do that, like just check in, ask how they're doing overall with their mental health. Is there anything that I can help them with, support them, make connections for them? Anything like that, because if anyone's ever kind of been in maybe an overwhelmed or a depressive state, you know that it takes a lot of effort to do anything extra. Even if you want to get help, it's just a lot of energy. You're drained already. So if a mom is just trying to get through, you know, day by day, I'm someone that is, you know, coming in to check in with them as well as offering, you know, community connections or other things. So just making it a little bit easier as part of their just daily things that they got to deal with anyway.
Right. And that's another thing that in my head, when I was thinking about, you know, talking to you today, I was kind of formulating like where I thought we would go. And that also aligns with our youth mental health first aid training, because one of the things we talk about is we try to provide where we can the local resources that we know of. We're both in Southeast Kentucky. Most of the people we've taught have been in the same area. We had one class recently we did virtually for people in Texas. So we try to say, okay, if you're in Southeast Kentucky, here are some places that you should need to know for some mental health resources. It could be free counseling or, you know, just like the crisis text line, which is a national number. But also for Save the Children, kind of the same thing. There are resources available to young parents, economic support, free diapers, free food, that kind of thing. And that's also, it's not the same, but it's like parallel to some of the things we do in the youth mental health first aid training.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that is a struggle for parents can be is just access to those necessities, so things that they need. So if that's something that I already have a connection to, you know, that's one less thing that they have to stress about. So even that small thing can be a big impact on their mental health overall. And I think, too, a lot of times families maybe just get stuck at home. And it's good to have someone that can come into their house and just socialize with them. Because if they're stuck at home with baby all day, if that baby's colicky, if that baby's crying, or they're just a normal baby and
babies be babies.
Exactly. So it can just be very isolating. So having someone to just come in there and talk with them in general. So like, obviously when I go to my home visits, we have like a learning activity that we do, like, we're talking about sharing books and like what that might look like with toddlers. They may throw a book, but that's completely normal. And that's fine. As long as they're invested in what they're doing, then they're going to be learning from it. So I might be, you know, bringing in that activity, but I also just, you know, at the end of or wherever just it happens to fit in, just do a check-in with the family overall. Like a lot of times I get really close with these families and they'll tell me things that they've been struggling with or things that they, you know, just part of their everyday life. And so it's been good to build up those relationships. And I really enjoyed that part of it.
So I just basically filled out the paperwork today to sign up for my second term as an AmeriCorps service member. You, however, are not going to be doing a second one, but that's because you're now going to be full-time with Save the Children. So you're still going to be attached to the school, but you're moving on. And I think that was ideally what we were hoping for. Like, you know, in your game plan, you were wanting to get full-time at the school, and this has been a good stepping stone. So you will be missed. Absolutely. I think we've already got our replacement work in progress for who's going to be the second AmeriCorps person here. I don't know why I just mentioned that, but I want to go back to the AmeriCorps thing the youth mental health for a second. Is like, I'm a dad. I have two kids. My oldest just turned 13. My youngest just turned 12. And you know, I'm someone who's had depression and anxiety, sometimes pretty severe, most of the time just sort of like a general anxiety that I'll go through life in. But as I've said in the class, I didn't have the vocabulary as a child to express that. And it's very easy for me to look back and go, oh, I was depressed in high school. That's why I did the things I did or didn't do the things I didn't do. But I didn't know how to explain to my parents what was going on. I didn't have the words. They certainly didn't have the knowledge on how to help me. And I'm very lucky. I got through it pretty much unscathed. That's a very good group of friends that I'm still friends with today. And we kind of took care of each other. But because of the training, I'm like hyper aware of my kids, and I'm constantly checking in with them. And I'm, you know, not a psychologist, not a clinician, but I have some education. I find the value. I've taken that with me into my personal life. And I wanted to ask, as someone who will be a mother soon, how has the training actually affected you as a person, either currently or maybe forward looking?
Yeah, I've definitely taken a lot overall from this training. And I think some of it too is just the knowledge that as a parent, and even reflecting back on like my own experience, as a parent, you may not be the person that your child wants to talk to. Mm-hmm. Whether that be because they don't want to disappoint you, they already feel like you've got enough to stress over, you don't need another thing. For me, that was the case. I'm like, they're already dealing with a lot. I don't want to stress them out. I'll get through it. And like you said, you had friends to lean on. But just already giving them that vocabulary, giving them that knowledge, family history even, mm-hmm. Because knowing depression is something that runs in my family as well. So that's something that like I have the words for, you know, knowing that ahead of time, being able to look for those warning signs that we talk about, and just making sure that your child has someone secure that they can talk to, that you trust as well. I think those are all things that I'm going to be aware of as our little baby grows up. And even with my Save the Children stuff, I got all this early childhood knowledge. So all that stuff is great. I feel like I've been very blessed overall to be in the position I have because I've got knowledge for where she's going to be at pretty soon. And then looking forward into the future of how to make sure that she's got the understanding and for us as parents to look out for her as best we can.
You know, I've said before on the show a couple of times that just from like a self-serving standpoint, if someone is thinking about service and they choose to go into AmeriCorps and they choose to go into the Healthy Minds or Health 360, Healthy Minds Alliance program, that getting the training to be a youth mental health or a mental health or a teen mental health, whatever track you choose, to be an instructor is extremely valuable. You know, I mean, anyone can do it. You can go to the place and pay them, but it's expensive to become a trainer. But I am so grateful that I got that training, and it has meant a lot to me as a person that I was able to get that training, and it is very fulfilling to me to share that training, which is why I wish I have had, you know, and I got another 10 months, so I'm going to get to more people. But every time I teach that, I just, in my head, and this may sound silly, but I think, what would it have been like for me if someone in my life when I was a kid had had that training? And it doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to save lives, though that certainly does and can happen through this training, but just how much easier it would have been on me. And I just like to think that maybe it may be like two steps removed, but there might be a kid out there somewhere who's now going to get the support they need. And it just means a lot to me personally.
No, I agree with you. And that is interesting to kind of reflect on, like out of all the people that we've taught. And I kind of say this at the end of the class too, to thank them, thank everybody for joining us in the training, for taking the time to do the training, because all of those people that we train now, there's so many connections to different young people and their lives, and we teach the youth ones. So that's kind of what we're very aware of. But all of those people now could exactly potentially save a life, or at least be someone supportive in another young person's right. life. And that is very wonderful to think about, because, you know, each individual, they don't just play one role. They're not just a teacher or something. That is part of what they do, but they're also potentially a parent. They're potentially an aunt, or maybe they got younger siblings. There's all kinds of relationships that they have connections to. And being able to provide that training has meant that potentially we've been able to affect a good amount of young right. people, and hopefully for the better.
Right, yeah, exactly. Hopefully. So, you know, I want to be respectful of your time, and we can't get too specific on the training, but I wanted to touch on it in a broad perspective, because we've done that together and I found it so valuable, and I appreciate what you've brought into those trainings and how you've helped me become a better trainer. So I wanted to dedicate some time to that, but this is technically a Healthy Minds Alliance podcast. So I always like to ask people, your term is almost up. You got a couple weeks left, I think. If you could go back and tell Sarah 10 and a half months ago, like, hey, this is what you're signing up for, this is what you're actually going to be doing, what advice would you give to a younger Sarah, or maybe someone listening who's also thinking, I might do this? What advice would you give to someone?
I think it would be very important for me to kind of reflect on the impact that I'm going to have, because kind of at the start, you know, as an instructor, once you start, you know the material pretty well from your training. But obviously, the more you do it, the more you get comfortable and kind of flow with it. So I would say, one, don't stress about the actual presentation aspect. The more you do it, the more you're going to get comfortable with it. And the knowledge itself is so beneficial that kind of trumps any kind of nerves that you might have going into it. As well as, it's going to be very impactful to hear from the people you're training themselves. I think that's one of the biggest things that I've taken away. There's so many perspectives about, like, I know going into it, you know, you can talk about some heavy things, and like, I already had preconceived ideas about, like, this might be triggering for someone, so that's what I need to be aware of.
Same, and that happened recently. We were wrong.
Yes, and it was actually, that part was fine. There was something that I didn't even consider being a triggering issue that, you know, we have those breakout rooms, we have those hallways where you can step out if someone needs a minute. You know, luckily we were there in the building for that particular training, and I was able to go and talk with that person. We had a really good conversation. Yep. But it's those moments like that that make me really reflect on my own life, my own perspective, because that's not something that I would have initially found to be something that could right. trigger somebody, that could be upsetting. And so overall, that's helped giving me like a perspective shift of just being aware of things in general. So I would say, you know, going into this, know that while you are training people, you are going to learn things as well, and it's going to be great.
I completely agree with that. And then I meant to say this earlier, but again, my train of thought got derailed. My fault, not yours. But one of the things I just wanted to mention before we go is that when we share at the beginning of those classes, and we hope to get more people more comfortable, what I've also kind of found, it's not remarkable, but I think it's noteworthy, is how many people do have stories to share, like how prevalent mental health conditions, issues, challenges are, and we don't talk about them enough. That's part of what we're trying to do here. Again, part of the mission of Healthy Minds Alliance is to raise education awareness about mental health challenges in local communities. And when you start doing the trainings, you see like so many people have issues, have challenges, and also a lot of them don't have the vocabulary. Same thing, like, that, you know, they're going through the same things I did back then. And that's the thing that I thought about, is how many people do end up sharing stories, because so many people have those stories.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, with that, a lot of people, you know, maybe start this training because they think, you know, I've had experience, I think mental health is important. But then we've also run into people that maybe it's an obligation that they've got to take the course as part of something that their job requires. And then they're like, I didn't think about that. Or like, it's, you know, because for me, thinking about like, yeah, everyone, you know, that everyone's got their own life, their own stuff that they're going into, but exactly how prevalent like mental health is, and whether people have the knowledge, whether people have the access to, you know, all this information or like what to do with it. You know, that's all things to consider. And even the perspectives of those who maybe are blessed with the healthiest mind and haven't had any mental health challenges, we would love that for everyone.
Yeah,
but
of course,
that's not always the case. But even for those people, you know, they still reach other people in their lives that even though they themselves may have not had a challenge, they interact with people every day right. that may. So being able to do that overall and hear from a variety of perspectives, I think is my biggest takeaway and that I'm going to keep with me as I move forward.
So kind of my last question I like to ask people, you knew we were going to talk today, so you probably have been thinking about maybe stories to share or just experiences that you want to talk about. So was there something that you were hoping you would get a chance to say, a story you wanted to share, an experience that you just thought would be insightful or just anything at all? Imagine I asked the exact right question you need to then give me the answer you wanted to give.
Yeah, I actually did have some kind of story in mind. So with me teaching art classes in the school, one of the things that's been very beneficial is I build relationship with these students. Mm-hmm. And another thing we talk about, you may or may not be the right person for that young person to open up to, but I'm another person in those students' lives to check in on them. And there was one day in the elementary school classroom that I noticed that this student who usually is excited and participates well in art classes wanted to just lay his head down. And I was like, that's fine. He needs a day. He needs a moment. It's like,
been there.
Yeah. I'm like, but afterwards, since I noticed, you know, that he was not participating as excited as I had previously seen him in those classes, I happened to go with them to lunch that day, and he was sitting by himself. And so I was able to use our I statements that we talked about, like, I noticed this change. I noticed that you weren't as, you know, participating in art class as you usually do. Is everything okay? And, you know, in that moment, and like it may happen, he was just like, I'm fine. And I just wanted to let him know, I was like, you know, that someone noticed that he wasn't feeling well, you know, whether that was emotional or physically, however it was, but he seemed kind of down that day, but I was able to still do that check-in. I was like, that was like one of my first moments that I'm like, ooh, I get to use the LG action plan.
Yeah.
As much as you don't want to see a child being upset, but it made me feel good that I had the tools to check in with him. It made me, you know, always assessing. So the next time I went in there the next day, he was doing a lot better. So it was like simply one day of being upset for whatever reason, wasn't comfortable with telling me about it, but I let him know that I was there if he wanted to. But that's something that made me be able to actually put what we've done into action in that one moment. And I was like, that was awesome, just being able to use that. And thankfully, he was fine, art classes, everything, well into the future, doing great.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate your time. Once again, I appreciate all that you've given for me, being my partner, being my co-trainer for so long. You'll be very hard to replace, but I certainly wish you the well as you move into your more full-time career.
Well, thank you. I've definitely enjoyed it. I feel like we've been a good team.
I agree as well. As we bring this week's episode to a close, I just want to once again say thank you to Sarah for joining me today, sharing a little bit about her experiences in the AmeriCorps Service Program, as well as a youth mental health first aid instructor, my co-instructor. I hope you, dear listener, have enjoyed, and I hope you'll join us again next week when we will have another amazing guest on to chat with. As a reminder, if you're interested in becoming a service member, have any questions about serving, or perhaps your organization would like to become a host site, you will find information and links to follow in our show notes.